across all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
For the last time, I'm Stephen Leng.
How are you, Stephen Leng?
I'm all right. Yeah, fine. We've got the fizz open.
Yes, we've got a bottle of bubbles.
We're good to go. We've got our guests ready. You know, it's all good.
And we have pulled out an amazing show for you, for your finale show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not being... The second guest is
all guests, strong incredible. One. So yeah. We've got a jam-packed show this evening, as always. As I say, because it's Stephen's last show, we've pulled out a little boy band. So we'll be ending the show with A1. We're also joined by the lovely Freddie Natural from Made in Chelsea fame. But first, as always, we're going to start with Miss Ellen. We want the showbiz gossip. What's the word on the street, babes?
Well, there's actually...
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, guys. There's a lot going on this week. Where to start? So, Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake. I love when they're back in the headlines. It's just giving 2000. So, basically, Justin Timberlake is back with new music and he released a song which is called Selfish last Friday. And it went to number one straight away on the iTunes charts. But Britney fans said, oh, no. That's not happening, Justin. So, basically, Britney has a song which she released in 2011 of the same name. And they
are... album track, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an album track. She didn't even release it as a single. Like, it's just buried somewhere.
Almost forgot about that she'd ever done it.
Forgot about it. I'm a Britney fan and I'd never even heard it. And anyway, they decided to download that and stream it loads. So it actually surpassed him. And now her song Selfish is at number one and his is number four.
Hilarious.
Love it. But her fans are doing that to get back at Justin because Britney's memoir, which she released last year, she spoke about the breakdown of their relationship and she said that Justin kind of made her look like the harlot that broke his heart, and then he released an album off of the back of that, and he done a song, Cry Me a River, where he hired a Britney impersonator to make it look like she'd broke his heart and woe is me.
And she was the lookalike in the bath, was it? I remember this video. Was she in a bath,
she was in a bath in one scene, and then she had that hat that Britney used to always wear, that paddy hat,
the Britney hat,
around that she's
walking through a big
house.
Mansion, isn't she?
Yeah, that's it. And the song was called Cry Me a River, so it was obviously about their breakup, but they actually broke up because Justin had cheated on Britney. So she said that she took the blame for that relationship. She also mentioned in her book that she had an abortion because Justin didn't want a baby that she had. Now, he did say that they were too young and they were 16. So, you know, each to their own. But I think Britney fans were standing up for Britney on that one. Yeah. But Britney has turned around yesterday and she said something on Instagram just saying that she loves Justin's new song and basically asking her fans to stand down without actually saying stand down.
That's good of her, really.
It was good of her. She also apologised.
Very Donald Trumpy, isn't it? To say it without quite saying it. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But she also apologised for things that she said in the book about Justin.
Oh, too late now, Brit. Don't start.
Too late. I think Britney kind of like, she told her truth in the book and then she didn't expect people to pick sides. She probably just was like, I mean, it was two decades ago. Come on. Like, it's water under the bridge, I'm sure.
And own it. Do you know what I mean? She stands by it. She wrote it.
Yeah.
But you can't probably predict that people was going to go as hard as they did. You couldn't have predicted that someone was going to start going through your back catalogue and download it.
I know, so funny. But at least it showed Britney that her fans are still behind her.
Absolutely.
She has like a load of pull there.
And gives her a few more coins coming in to pay off the ex.
Good point. I'm sure she won't be complaining too much.
Yeah, exactly. No, Britney's fine, I'm sure. And also, Taylor Swift back in the headlines. So this was actually really cool, and I believe it, because Taylor Swift can conquer the world. Like, she'll be the next president, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But apparently, she can sway the 2024 election. A new poll found that a fifth of voters are likely to back a candidate endorsed by the singer. So this was a poll done in the States, obviously. Now, it was only done with 1,500 people. So it's not that many people compared to the amount of people in the States.
I think there's like 330 million people live in America.
Exactly. But it was mostly kind of aimed towards Gen Zers because they were saying that like Gen Z generation aren't really that into politics, but they're really into like celebrity culture. And as we know...
As you know, Bob.
Yeah, as a Gen Z and Mazel.
Exactly. You should know full well. So there's 40
the shade.
There's 42 million Gen Zers that will be voting this year in the American election. So if she's able to sway even half of them, then, you know, she'll be doing good. And we all know that she's not a Donald Trump fan, because she did tweet before saying that we are going to get you out of the White House. Around the time that he was in power.
I mean, kind of what Taylor stands up for is very anti what Donald Trump stands for, right? So, I mean, it's not really a surprise if she does come out and endorse Biden.
Yeah.
But then obviously she is alienating a lot of her potentially sort of right-wing fans that might be
exactly
in those sort of more country music based, I don't know.
I wonder as well, would she even use her popularity in that way? Because it could be detrimental to the election. Do you know, does she want to sway it? So it might sway other people, non-Gen Zers, maybe millennials. We wouldn't know anything about that.
We don't claim them.
No. Those old people. She might sway them the opposite direction. Do you know, she could do that like by mistake if she was to endorse one or the
and
other.
It's quite a controversial thing, like, because in the public eye, especially at that kind of fame, you kind of stay well back from politics. You know, like, when it comes to politics, it's just because you've always going to upset someone. Because that's the beauty of politics. Everyone's got their own thing.
Exactly.
And people come together, whether it's a singer, an actress, whatever, and behind closed doors, they probably don't really care what side of the road you're on. Like, and sometimes they don't need to know. But we are, I think, very much, and it's been the thing for a few years now, I think we are in a culture and a generation now where people are more inclined to look into lives of celebrities than politics.
Yeah.
So it's not a surprise to me that we are getting like figures like that to say that she could sway. I'm sure she could, because people listen to celebs more than a politician.
Of course. I feel like
I'm not saying that's right to do, but they do. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she definitely would. Look who's in the look who's trying to get back into the White House and was Donald
Trump.
Who
is trying to get back into the White House?
Oh yeah, do you not know?
please, I'm begging to hear more about him. Yeah.
But he was a reality TV star.
This is the thing. So now the lines are blurred. We're actually getting celebrity become president.
Exactly, and especially in the States, they love a celebrity. Yeah. Like, that's what they go on. They go, like...
Ronald Reagan was an actor before he was...
Was he?
Yeah, he was, like, in Western films and stuff.
Well,
so,
there
I mean,
you
it's
go.
It's been happening for a long time.
It's been happening for a long time. So it's not a far stretch to say that, like, pop stars can sway votes if there's reality TV stars running the country. So, you know, I kind of hope she sways votes in the other direction, because I can't look at Donald Trump anymore.
And reality stars, ex-reality stars, I mean, it ain't happened in England yet. Maybe we need an ex-reality star as Prime Minister.
No.
I don't know.
Who would we choose?
Bobby Norris.
No.
Bobby Norris.
All right. Only if you make me
I'd
your deputy.
I'd be good in Downing Street.
What would be your first port of call?
I don't know. I'm more worried about decorating it.
Right.
I've got a lovely L-shaped
sofa. Oh, this is very
sofa.
Boris Johnson. Yeah. I mean, he ended up getting booted out over.
I'm thinking my mirrored furniture, my Marilyn Monroe canvases, my L-shaped, which ain't crushed velvet. I've moved on from that. No Tino shade to Pimmel.
Oh, what have you got now?
I'm very much grey.
Right.
50 Shades of Grey. I'd make the...
Okay.
Downing Street would be 50 Shades of Grey.
Is there
It'd be the
Grey
House.
Is there going to be a live, laugh, love sign outside 10 Downing Street?
No, I'm not that
no.
boy.
Have we
no,
moved
just
on?
Marilyn.
Just Marilyn.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Will it have, like, I don't know if you have these, but like where in the bathroom it just says bath? Or like,
no, but I do have everything labelled. So jars are labelled, even though they're glass.
Oh.
So my dad was like, "Bobby, you can tell that's tea bags," and it says tea. But that's up, it's glass. You can tell it is.
So
or,
your dad's
coffee,
a very sensible
coffee.
Man.
Yeah. But even down to like detergents, dishwasher tablets. Anyway, no one cares about
your
how I'm
going
to decorate Downing Street. But when it does happen, and I reckon it could, I mean, look at America. Mm. I'll try and get a TV show off the back of it. I can see like changing rooms, but Bobby changes Downing Street.
Oh,
and you can
God.
Come in ITV or any other channel, put your bids in.
Amazing.
Watch me decorate Downing.
I think that would be great. And then you can make it like the Kardashians, where their cameras just live with you 24/7 in Downing Street as you make really hard decisions.
Yeah.
And you could just be like flicking your pen, like looking cute.
Stocking up my Oreo jar.
Your Oreo
jar. And then you get a call in saying that North Korea is about to send a nuclear bomb out. What are you doing, Bob?
Well, I will be paying a Chancellor to do that, or because everyone's doing I can't be expected to
a
do
minister.
Everything. A minister, so I will WhatsApp the minister
right.
and say,
Sorry, I'm busy decorating.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't claim to know it all, but I just think it's got to happen. A man of the people.
That sounds like a great gig. Can you give me a role if that ever does
happen? Oh, yeah. What do you want to be?
I don't know. Maybe like...
Minister of Entertainment.
Minister of Entertainment.
Love that, yeah.
Fashion correspondent. Do they have that?
Yes. Well, we'll make it.
We'll make it a thing?
Yes.
Turn Downing Street into a long catwalk.
Yeah, red carpet, then cobbles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stunning.
I'm into it.
That's amazing. Oh. I'm into it.
I'll come down and report from the carpet.
I'm voting for you.
Thank you, babes. Bobby Norris being Prime Minister aside, what else has been going on, Elle?
Right, actually, another man who could probably... I wouldn't put it past him if he went for Prime Minister, but James Gordon, now that he's back in the country...
Sorry. God.
He's back.
You're not a fan, Stope?
Sorry?
Not a fan of Mr. Gordon.
Is there beef? Is there beef?
Oh, yeah, loads of beef. Me and James Gordon are pure beef. Just not a fan. Go on.
Not a fan. Okay, well, he says that moving back to England was hard and overwhelming. Yeah, no shit. Why did you move back? Stay in LA.
Isn't it the same thing that sort of Kat Deeley went through? And it was actually quite a serious reason. Mm. And that is because they didn't want to send their kids to American schools because of gun violence.
Yep. I think that's kind of what... Now, he didn't say that, but he is kind of blaming the kids as to why they moved back. Mm. He said, oh, they're at an age now where they're going into school and they are all just before the age of... before they go into secondary school. So maybe that's something to do with it.
I think it's a serious thing. Like, yeah. I don't think... a lot of people now, a lot of British people... I mean, because Kat Deeley and Patrick Kielty were very vocal about it at the time, and I think it's actually a really serious thing to have to consider, because if your kids are having to do drills and things like that in school for like live shooters on site, that's too much.
It's too much. They're giving teachers guns to protect themselves.
It's all too much.
It is too
far too much.
No, crazy.
But also, let's not take away, it's not like England's perfect. We've got an epidemic with knife crime. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're coming over here and it's never land.
That's true, but knives are different to guns.
And the statistics are mad.
I don't fancy taking either on.
Neither do I. But I mean, like, if you would much rather... You'd much less rather have a man with a gun running around a school than one.
See, it's just... I mean, I didn't go to a school where anyone had a gun, obviously, thankfully.
No, me
but
neither.
I mean, I remember we used to... They'd be like... Do you remember like the Astro Belts, Pick a Mix? There was like a little black market for selling Pick a Mix and flies. So there was a few sweets going around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A couple of people used to buy cigarettes or something. When you could buy 10 fags for $1.99. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, because obviously I'm a Gen Zer. But we didn't really have...
Vapes.
But I'm sure there's vapes going around the playground now. Mm. But when I look back with kind of fond memories compared to how it is now, I mean, it was like a fairy tale when we was at school.
But the knife crime here as well is so, you know, mundane compared to what's going on in the States. Like, there's a shootout every day there.
It's terrifying.
Like, it's crazy. And like, with a shootout, you kill 30, 40, 50 children at a time. Like, with gun violence or knife crime, it is literally one or two people, which is still awful. Yeah. But like you said, like, I think I'd be kind of running out of the country as well if my children were going to school there.
And I guess we're not parents, so it's hard to... You can't say what you would do, but I mean, you can't take away from a parent if that's what James and his wife thought. Absolutely. Yeah. But there's no denying he had probably the dream job.
And actually, in that
interview... That's a good gig to have. That's hard to call up and go, do you know what? This is my P40 flight.
Yeah, he did say in that interview as well, like, he'd done that gig for 8 years, the Late Late Show. And yeah, it's a long time. He said there was over 1,500 shows and they had 85% of the same team through that whole time, which is rare for a TV show, I would have thought. You know, usually producers come and go. But he did say he really missed it. He said, especially when the Barbie movie came out, he wanted to be, like, involved in what they would have done. And he was like, I think we would have made a song to do with the Barbie movie.
Kelsey, we're done.
Yeah, it would
have been. Well, that show had loads of amazing spin-offs, didn't he? Like Carpool Karaoke. Yeah. And he did things with like Prince Harry and that thing where he had like Anna Wintour and Harry Styles around a table and it was like, answer the question or eat something disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, it must have been a real wrench. I'm sure he had a little savings pot that money was going
sure
into.
I'm sure it's all right. Yeah. But his last show, Adele turned up, didn't she? She did like karaoke again, but she woke him up. Because I think they become quite close, obviously, both being from the UK. Yeah. They become friendly.
There's a little expat community, I think, isn't there, in LA? I think
people always congregate together when they're from the same area.
Mm. I think I would be part of that clique.
Yeah,
when I go to LA,
when you're Prime Minister.
Once I'm done with that and I get the Late Late Show, I can see me and Adele going to Prime Minister Catch or going to Craig's for like a carbonara. Oh,
shut in my mom.
Yeah, I can see it.
I can see it. Guys, what show do you think that James is going to present over here? Because I don't think he's going to stay like quiet for too long. I'd say they're going to snap
him
up.
There's not really that Friday night thing is fully owned by like Graham Norton, right? Yeah. Like he's not really going to. Alan Carr obviously ended his show that was similar years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know what it, there is.
Do you think he'll make his own show similar to Graham Norton? Something like that?
I wonder if he could do like a tea time show. One of those like sort of 5 p.m. Remember when Paul O'Grady used to do his and stuff like that?
Yeah, the 5 p.m. I mean, it's one of them people that obviously, the fact of it being the Late Late Show, the clues in the title, we could kind of get away and push it a little bit. But, I mean, he could have, I reckon, took over Philip Schofield and done This Morning. I could see him doing daytime.
That would have been good. That would have been so good. Although, is he very American now?
I also feel like he's a bit risque for that. Isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a bit like close to the knuckle.
Yeah.
Daytime telly. Yeah, it's hard with him. And because he's been in America
he's probably having these exact questions with his agent.
Yeah. They're probably listening to this going, oh my God, some great ideas here, guys. Get a notepad and pen.
You know, the one job I do want him to do before he starts, and again, James, obviously, go get them presenting gigs because he's amazing at it. But what I want him to be sat with his agent talking about, and Miss Ruth Jones, I want him talking about another Gavin and Stacey Christmas special.
Oh, yes, please. No
doubt. That is what I need. You're in the UK, James. Unpack your cases, get the kids into school, chill out, get over the jet lag, and then get right into Gavin and Stacey, please.
Exactly.
Although him
That's
and Matt Horn, not that tight anymore, are they?
Yeah, so. I know.
Cash is king, though.
Yeah. It is.
Exactly. They'll all get over
I'd
the
keep
feud.
My mouth shut for, for a couple of 100,000. Yeah, no problem.
Exactly. I'm sure they'll be fine. But yeah, definitely another Gavin and Stacey. We'd love to see that. So Celine Dion is actually coming out with a documentary. I love a good documentary. And this one sounds really good. She's raising awareness about the syndrome that she was diagnosed with a couple of years ago. It's called stiff person syndrome. Only 1 or 2 in 1 million people have it in the world. It's really rare. It was diagnosed in 1956 for the first time.
Oh, wow.
And basically it's a neurological disorder which affects the spinal cord and the brain, but it gives your muscles spasms. So sometimes she can't control herself and even the muscles in her mouth. So it affected her singing as well. So she had to cancel her tour last year because of this. And apparently it affects her every single day. So she is going to make a documentary about that. It's going to be really interesting to see an insight into what her life looks like now, because I've never seen somebody with stiff person syndrome.
No.
Do you know, it's going to be hard to kind of picture what it is like to live with that. So she's hoping to get back on the stage and like continue the tour. That is her dream. It's her hope. And yeah, I think this documentary is going to kind of highlight her struggles trying to get back on the stage. It's going to be such an interesting watch.
She was seen not long ago, right, at a Katy Perry gig, and she actually looked in pretty good health.
Yeah.
So I don't know how, maybe she's starting to, maybe part of this, maybe the rehabilitation's working, she's feeling better. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know the specifics about the disorder to actually know what it entails on a day-to-day basis. So.
And that's what she's hoping to do, raise awareness. Because she said so little people have it in the world and she wants them to feel seen and for other people to know about the disorder as well. So like, I can't even picture it, but it will be so interesting to see.
What a cruel world. Like, when it comes down to statistics, I don't know what the odds are, I mean, there's only one Celine Dion, but to have that voice in her career, millions to one, but then the other side of the coin, to have disease, only 2 people in a million. Like, I mean, from one end of the scale to the other, like,
crazy, absolutely crazy.
Iconic, though,
totally iconic. But you know, I like, fun fact, I've actually tried to see Celine Dion in concert 3 times.
She's postponed it for years after years.
Years. Like, the first time was actually about 12 years ago in Las Vegas, and we had it booked and everything to see her, and that day she cancelled. We were only in Vegas for 3 days and she cancelled those 3 days.
No.
It was when her husband had throat cancer. She cancelled. Then she was meant to do Hyde Park. I got tickets for that. She cancelled that one.
Oh, I saw her in Hyde Park. Was it
a different year?
Maybe it was a different year. But I did see her in Hyde Park.
It wasn't that long ago. And then she was meant to do, I think it was the O2 or Wembley last year. And I was going to get tickets to that and she cancelled. And I was like, girl,
it ain't
please.
Meant to be, babes. I don't think it's destined, but it ain't in your stars.
I know. I'm just not meant to see her.
Do you know what? I will sing for you. Because no one does a Soleil like me.
It's my last show. Do you have to?
What do you want? A bit of Titanic?
A bit of, what's
all coming back to me now.
Yes, a bit of all coming back to me now.
We'll save that for after the show, but I mean, it won't meant to be, I think. Maybe fourth time. Four's my lucky number. Maybe we'll get to see her.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
But I think that'll be an interesting documentary. Oh, yeah, you've got me.
Yeah, exactly.
Prime Minister, singer.
Yeah. James Gordon, host.
I do the lot. Do you know
how like
much I don't do? What else has been going down, Miss L?
So Dominic West, he was the guy who played King Charles. Well, Prince Charles, he actually played in The Crown. But The Crown actually got really bad reviews because Princess Diana came back as a ghost and people didn't like it. But I mean, artistic license, right? It's a drama. Like, it's not factual documentary, which people love to pretend it is. But anyway, people were fuming about that and it got really bad reviews. But Dominic said he stayed in bed for two whole days because of the reviews. He said he's a sensitive soul and he actually couldn't take the bad reviews. Which is awful, isn't it?
That is sad.
He was a really weird... I hope he's not listening to this now because he'll never recover. But he was a really weird, like, booking for King Charles. He looks nothing like King Charles. Do you know the way they always try to get an actor who looks slightly like the person, even the mannerisms?
I think he has the mannerisms down, don't you think?
I mean, maybe
very good at
the
that, like,
voice
stuttering,
and the...
Like,
yeah, but I just couldn't see past how handsome he is. I was like, you are a babe and you're playing King Charles? Like, what?
He had his moment, Prince Charles, back in the 70s when he was sort of in his 20s.
But he didn't look like that at all. He was kind of more tall and kind of ears were out. And, you know, still quite handsome in his time, for his time, but definitely not Dominic West.
No,
so,
fair.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Sorry, Dominic.
Sorry, Dom. Well, thank you, babes. Always
nice to
get a little bit of gossip and a little bit of the showbiz too. Mm-hmm. Now, guys, I've been beating the streets of London again today. You
always
know me.
Always beating them streets,
always
Bob.
Beating them streets. I've got to do it for the lovely Access All Areas listeners. And today, I don't know if you've seen, talking of showbiz news, it's been announced that there's going to be a jukebox musical to the soundtrack of Steps.
Oh,
I know who's written it. Sean Kitchener, a friend of mine.
Small world.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So you know me, got thinking, I thought, who do people want to see? Like, can be an artist, a solo, could be a band. Who do we want to see do a jukebox musical next as a musical? So let's, before I play, who would you like to see, Stephen?
Sophie Ellis Bex. Obviously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm her number one fan.
Yeah. What's a jukebox musical?
So basically, kind of, Mamma Mia is basically to a soundtrack to ABBA. It's a musical you make to an artist or
like
a band's
artist.
Soundtrack.
Okay.
There was Jagged Little Pill, the Alanis Morissette musical, which was a jukebox musical.
Spice Girls did one.
They did one.
Fever Forever, I think
what
it was.
What about Britney? It would be chaos.
That's true.
It would be chaos. Imagine the songs. That would be great.
Yeah, Britney would be a good one.
Yeah.
I think Adele.
It would be such a depressing musical.
Yeah, it would be really bad. And like, what drama has happened in her life? Only cancelling the
Vegas. It doesn't have to be about the person, right?
They have to be able to write their music into a script of some sort.
Oh, okay.
I mean, she's got quite the catalogue. I won't have you shading Adele.
When I'm suggesting Sophie Ellis Bex,
All right. So Britney, Adele and Sophie. But anyway, let's see what the lovely people at London Town said.
I think an Avril Lavigne musical would be good.
Bit of overall, what would the storyline be? What's the message?
You know, she was a girl, he was a boy. Cannot make it any more obvious.
Fair play.
Got some good songs in there. I think there's a story. I think there's characters.
Adele?
I'm here for that. Yeah, I love a bit of Adele.
Now, as a firm One Direction forever.
Yeah, Directioner.
That's my era.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say One Direction.
And what would the storyline be?
Now, I know a lot of people would want a certain storyline.
Yeah.
It would be a bit filthy. I don't think we could put that on stage. Why don't you do like a Magic Mike, but with the One Direction stars? Just go rogue.
Destiny's Child would be good if they did a little reunion. That would be good.
Shaggy.
Oh, and how would that storyline go?
You need to ask.
Yeah. I have to admit, I did laugh to the guy that said Shaggy, and I asked about storyline. He was like, do you need to ask how that storyline went? Very, very funny guy. Anyway, guys, we're going to go to a little trail, and then we'll be back with the lovely Freddie Natchbull from Made in Chelsea. But until then, I will see you in two.
Bye.
FUBAR Radio presents Access
All Areas. And we are joined now by our lovely guest, James Johnson, celebrity hairdresser. How are you, James?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
What was Mel B like then? I used to be a Spice Boy.
The best energy.
Did you sing to her?
I can't sing.
Nor can I, but I still
don't. I remember the job got cancelled. I went to wherever she was staying in London, it got cancelled. And whoever she was living with made us Victoria sponge cake. So the job got cancelled, we all sat around a table eating cake. I got in the car and I was like, I've just sat with a Spice Girl eating Victoria sponge.
Oh, noshing a bit of Vicky Sponge. Nick Helm
and the Daniel Metcalf's fan club. We are joined in the studio now by professional comedian Brett Goldstein. How are you doing, Brett?
I'm very grateful to be here with you two.
If you could dig someone up and fuck them.
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly and Cary Grant, right?
Not Cary, there's not much time. If I could dig up Gene Kelly, I'd say, could we do a dance?
I've got the shovel in my boot.
In this scenario, is he still dead when you dig him up, or does he come out?
Does he come to life? Is he a rotten corpse, or is he...
That's fan club!
Dating or going on dates when you were like a teenager was always quite fun, though. Do you know what I mean? I remember going on dates to like the cinema, or you'd go shopping, like shopping centres, wouldn't you?
I think, if anything, they were... Maybe this just says about life and where it is, but I used to get really excited, like, more excited than I do now. Like, the thought of going to meet someone in a park, a boy, it was like, oh, my fucking God, what trainers am I going to wear? Are my trainers clean? Am I going to plait my hair? It was like... the thought that would go through my head just to meet one person, whereas now, you know, you might meet someone on the way home from work and it's like the effort, you're still making an effort, but it's like, yeah, I can fit you in. It's completely different.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Guys, you heard it here first, live on FUBAR Radio, and we are joined in the studio by the lovely Freddie. How are you, Fred?
I'm good. I'm sweating a lot because I've just run.
Have you got the aircon on? You all right?
Honestly, as soon as I got in here, that aircon hit me.
Have you had a stressful afternoon, mate?
Do you know what? It's been pretty relaxing, apart from the journey here. There was like... You know when there's a lift on the tube?
Yeah.
You never see that ever. The only time in the last month I've had a lift was today, and I'm like visibly
Cali
stressing.
Road.
On
Cali
this
Road.
Road. Yeah. Apart from that, had a filming day. Fun. It's always fun.
How's filming going? Because you're currently doing a new series at the minute, aren't you, Made in Chelsea?
Yeah, filming... God, what season are we on now?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Pretty high. I think we're on season 26, 27. This is my fourth season, so we're really racking them up.
And so far, I mean, what's the drama say in this series? Have you gone balls deep in drama? I mean, I know you're not going to spill all the tea, but...
I know that...
We know how these shows work. I'm sure already there's a lot going on.
I know my producers are listening to this right now.
Hello to Made in Chelsea producers.
They're probably stressing so much that I'm going to leak something. I'm not. This season, but let me just break my NDA very quickly. Yeah. So, would you want to know what's happening?
Yeah,
right. How far into it are you filming?
So,
it's an odd show because you do film it quite a way ahead, right? Before it's released, and then real life catches up.
We're digging into the start of the season.
Okay.
And I don't want to say how many scenes I've done or whatever, but it's going to be interesting. For people who like watching me. I mean, I don't know about other people.
Ah, so you're heavily involved is what you're saying.
I'm heavily involved. Wouldn't say heavily involved. I've definitely like taken a new persona, I want to say. Not persona, but the things I've had to do this season are different to what I've had to do in previous seasons. So you're going to see a new side to me.
So we're going to see you in a few ding-dongs and a few tear-ups because in your four series that you've done, you've never really been... in drama as such where it's you against you personally. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you've had people's backs and stuff and you've been loyal and you've had opinions, obviously.
I'm loyal, babes. I'm loyal.
You're loyal, babes. But you've never really had never had a huge fuck-off. Like, do you know what I mean? You've always been someone that kind of gets on with everyone.
Yeah, because I do. I do get along
with
everyone.
Which is a nice place to be in.
Yeah. It's always easier to get along well with people, I think.
Yeah,
but
no shit. But then you're all Made in Chelsea. Yeah. Like people know what's going on.
But some people just can't behave themselves, and I can't say too much. But you know, It's how can I say this? Basically, just a few arguments here and there, which I haven't done before, which is quite scary, actually, doing it for the first time properly. Wouldn't recommend it to anyone. Your teeth are so white, by the way. They're just like shining.
Natural.
Shining at me, literally.
God-given nose worth, Fred. God-given. So, obviously, you're filming a series at the minute, which isn't on it, but people at home listening will have just seen that the previous season or the season, I've got all Americans because I'm talking about James Corden, Late Late Show, the series where it was filmed in Sydney. You wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Why did you not go Sydney?
Couple reasons. One, I couldn't.
Two. Well, there you go.
That's that then.
Actually, well, the reason I couldn't is, well, stuff had to be moved around. And maybe I could have, but it was easier to be in London. And also, I was away during filming for quite a long time. I think I missed almost 4 episodes. Mm-hmm. I was on holiday. Like, you can't blame me. I'm going to go on holiday.
Got to be done.
Yeah. And I guess that just keeps you out of the life, that life, for a bit. And so if you're not as involved, you're going to miss out on certain stuff.
Yeah.
Which is what happened to me. I missed out on so much drama, which I couldn't keep up with because there's so much of it. And then obviously once the season ends, they have to make a decision. And clearly there was no point in me being there. As I said, I've had a great time in London, by the way. Like, 3 months off.
Letting your hair down.
I think I've only had a 2-week break before that. So,
wow, really?
So it was a well-deserved break. You needed it.
Yeah. Oh, God, it was good. I miss it.
On reflection, because I'm sure you've seen, or whether you've watched the episodes or you see on social media what's going down, was you glad, in reflection and hindsight, to not be in Sydney now?
Good question. I think, who doesn't want to go to Sydney? I mean, in hindsight of all the stuff that happened.
Yeah, to be fair, because it's not like all filmed, right? You do get some time if you were there to sort of have fun and party or whatever.
Most of the stuff you see on TV is actually what's happening in real life. Mm-hmm. So, obviously being in Sydney, partying, going out with your friends is great. But the drama that went down, I think, I would love to stay clear of all of that, to be honest. I'm not really a drama guy. I don't like...
No.
I'm not a I don't like arguing with people. It's not what I do.
How the hell? You're not the first person from Made in Chelsea we've had on the show that said that. But how the hell do you end up staying on Made in Chelsea if you don't like drama and fighting? Because it's the nature of the show, right? I mean, you can't get away from it.
I mean, have good chat. Okay, you can't just sit there and say nothing. Like,
yeah.
Also, I get along well with the girls, mm-hmm. so I'm sure that helps. Mm. Obviously, it's also a dating show as well as a drama show. I think people who come on the show and come off don't really make any friends on there. They don't hook up with any of the girls. I sound like such an arsehole right now.
No, that's what happens.
It's true though. Like, people come and go because they don't get involved. And I guess I'm still there because I just get stuck in. Like, I've got real friends on there. Yeah.
So let's talk about girls, which ain't a sentence I've said often in my life, I can say. But Fred, out of the lovely girls on MIC, I mean, you've had your eye on one or two, but out of the cast we've currently got now, who would you take for a steak and chips, should we say?
Steak and chips.
Who are you going to take out for a nice bit of
dinner? Apart from the Bluebird
and a Raffles night, obviously.
Yeah, obvs.
I'm not really a steak and wine type of guy. I'm more of a pint.
I was politely going, which one would you shake? We're going to play Snog, Marry, Avoid, or Shag, Marry, Avoid. Go.
I know that some of these people are listening right now, so it's going to be an awkward day of filming next time I see them. There's one girl called, she's got a boyfriend. She owns Clean Kitchen, Verity.
Okay.
She is so, like, blonde hair, blue eyes, so my type. But
is she shag, marry, or avoid?
She's married. She's wifey. Okay. Verity, if you're hearing this, you already know this, but but she's 28. She's got a boyfriend, you know.
They're putting it out there.
Of course, Verity. Yeah. Come on, take me on a date.
So shag and avoid now, Fred.
Avoid. Oh, God. Wow. Okay. Shag. I don't even know. They're all beautiful girls, you know. Probably. Really?
This is making me realize you're not even asking me.
I don't think I've ever actually thought about that. Probably, I know she's listening right now as well. Probably the one to avoid, Jazz.
Okay, you're swerving, Jazz.
Right, okay.
Shag, oh my God, let's just go Yaz. She's fit. Yeah.
Fine.
Fair play.
Yeah.
You have got a good looking cast, yeah. Made in Chelsea.
All of us are.
Yeah, you're all yeah. Salts. Mm-hmm. And you're from good breeding, aren't you?
What does that mean?
We're we're different lingo.
You've got to speak my language.
You're good breeding, so basically you're from good heritage. If you was an all, should be a racehorse. Whereas I'd be a donkey. Donkey getting shagged round the hay bale. Do you know what I mean?
Don't take yourself that low. You're a racehorse as well, mate.
I'm a racehorse. Maybe a three-legged racehorse.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's a bit of a wonky one. But
we'll piss off, Stephen. He's leaving today anyway. Don't miss him. So you're good stock. What's the background?
Good stock, what does that mean as well? That's what you just said, basically.
Blue, you've got a bit of blue blood in you. Racehorse, stallion. Yeah. So you're somewhere down the line, royalty, aren't you? You're connected to the royals.
This was not on the question list at all.
Oh, have you had approval of questions?
I'm not approved. Do you know what? My family will kill me, but I'll say a tiny little thing. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't consider myself quote unquote blue blooded, but I'm sure a lot of people out there would. A lot of people in my DMs think I am. Like, pretty weird stuff I get in my DMs, to be fair. Like, you get everything, including that. Yeah. I mean, I would say so, to answer your question. Yeah, I grew up in a nice family.
You ever been to Buckhurst? Buckingham Palace.
I thought that was a place in Essex. I was like,
not the sugar no, Buckhurst, Buckingham Palace.
One day we'll be there.
Yeah.
Coffee with the king.
Yeah, nice.
Maybe an elf bar.
How do you think he's doing? How do you think Charles is doing as king? Do you think he's a good monarch?
Yeah, of course. I'm not going to sit here and say he's terrible, because otherwise,
because we're both going down the Tower of London.
Exactly. I mean, he's I don't think he's not really involved politically. I think the only thing that monarch does is pass laws, like approves of them. So I guess what he's done so far can be considered good. He hasn't messed up, basically. Yeah. You're only going to be bad if you mess up.
Yeah.
I.e. the obvious one
we're talking about there.
And hard act to fail, like his mum was the governor, wasn't she? She was very good at what she did. His mum, Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, Liz. Yeah.
Lizzie was a good girl.
She was.
She was a good monarch.
Yeah. She was great. I think she's our longest reigning monarch, so
smashed it.
Queen Elizabeth.
So obviously, moving away from like your family tree and the blue blood that you've got, I'm not going to talk about my blue blood because I just won't go into all that.
You're more like a Star Trek alien than blue blood, are you, Alphonse?
An avatar.
Yeah.
So you're an intellectual guy. You was at uni when Made in Chelsea came about. Gave up uni.
Was is a big word there.
Yeah. But that was your choice to give it up to join Made in Chelsea. Was that a hard decision?
It was actually the easiest decision of my life, honestly. It wasn't purely just to join TV. There were so many like different factors. One, I hated my course. Two,
what were you studying?
Politics and sociology.
Fair.
Oh.
Clever guy. Definitely not. I fucked all my exams. And I didn't want to work that 9 to 5. Obviously, I'm very young, so I'm a bit naive in that sense. But I saw a way out with Made in Chelsea, a path that I've always wanted to do, sort of. Getting paid, I said this, Tatler quoted me on this as well, getting paid to be myself, which is what I want to do. Who doesn't want to sit around with their friends and do nothing and get paid for it?
I agree.
Yeah.
Love that. 12 years in the game, I've never had Tatler. Funny that.
Yeah,
why have I never had Tatler, if you're listening?
I'll big you up. I'll tell you that.
Please.
I'll tell them to get you a
Star magazine.
Back when I was at Star magazine.
Never Tatler.
Half of them don't exist anymore.
No, I know. That's because I'm a Gen Z, isn't it, Fred? That's the problem. I think we're the same age. So,
just about.
How is it for you? Was you a fan of Made in Chelsea before you was a cast member?
No.
No.
Not
so had you ever watched an episode before?
Nope. I mean, I guess
that's
like...
quite nice. You went in like bareback.
Bareback, yeah. That's a way to put it. Was not strapped up at all.
No.
Had no idea what I was getting into. I think the great thing about not watching it, am I close enough to the mic? Sorry,
you're fine.
Yeah. You're all right.
The great thing about not watching it before is you don't walk in and recognise everyone, and you're like, oh my god, that's Liv, that's
you have to have a crib sheet like people's faces with some
honestly,
basic details.
Took a long time to actually like learn all the gossip and everything, but like I walked in, I didn't really care. I was like, everyone thought I was a bit cocky because I just didn't really care, because when I meet people for the first time, I'm very open. I'm not going to sit there and, like, be shy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was a good thing about not watching it, but probably should have.
I mean, maybe a couple of episodes, but then, like you said, what's it been, like 26 series or whatever? It probably would have been 27 would have been quite a lot to catch up on.
Oh my god, too much.
Yeah, months and months of your life, I think, at this point.
What was your family's opinion and thoughts on you joining a reality show? Because some people, rightly, have their opinion, and we all get typecast as reality stars, and people look down their nose at us a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, what did, especially like if you've left uni to do it, I never went uni.
Were you
shocking, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, what's your family's thoughts on not just giving up the uni, but reality TV as a whole?
Have a guess. Obviously, it's not.
I bet shit in the van, isn't it? Yeah.
But you know, at first, it was like, Freddie, like, do you think this is the right decision? But as the seasons went on, as the months went on, as I got, they can see I was happy with what I was doing. They're so supportive now. My family, even my cousins, which were not, they weren't the most supportive at first. But everyone's happy with what I'm doing. I think everyone just is leaving me to do my stuff. Mm-hmm. At first, they tried to like guide me. But honestly, I can't ask for a better family in terms of like how they support me, because there's a big reason to not support me with this. Massive, like dropping out of uni to do
reality TV. To become a reality star.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not the path that many people think is a good idea. But yeah, love my fam, obviously. Yeah. But they're great.
Yeah, well, good.
Fred, I want to say thank you so much for coming into the studio and taking time out of your busy schedule.
Sorry I was late.
No, don't
apologise. And I just want to say what a lovely guy you are. Do you know what I mean? In that 20 minutes, in that interview.
Thank you.
I can see why your family are proud.
Yeah.
And you know what? You might not have a degree, but you're doing something good.
No shade.
You are. Jokes aside, lovely guy. And thank you very much. So
thank you.
Come back anytime you want, Fred.
I will. Just ask me back. I'll be there.
Absolutely, mate.
Maybe I'll break my NDA next time.
You never do the Made in Chelsea, so don't worry about it.
Producers, I'm joking.
Thanks for letting him have us, producers. Big love to MIC and Channel 4.
Big love.
On that note, guys, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back with a couple of the guys from A1, so I will see you in two.
FUBAR Radio presents Politics and Censorship.
Joining us now, we have Muhammad Ali, author who is currently writing a book about India under Narendra Modi. Mr. Ali, thank you so much for joining us. And so I wondered if you could give us perspective to our listeners what life is like for an Indian Muslim right now. Are they at risk of violence at any point in their life?
So right now, Muslims have stopped. They're very cautious not to appear as Muslims in day-to-day lives. Like they've stopped wearing skull caps. They've stopped eating meat in public spaces. And what has happened is that every idea and everything associated with Muslims have been illegitimized and have been criminalized in India today.
Every Thursday, FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back, guys. So we are going to be joined by the lovely boys from A1. We've got Mark and Paul joining us via the Zoom. How are you, Mark and Paul?
Hello.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah, good. Oh, look, there's balloons.
Oh, he's got the balloons out. How's it going, no lads?
I love that.
How are you boys doing? Busy at the minute, I'm guessing.
Well, actually, it's a little bit of downtime. It's kind of like the calm before the storm, because we had a pretty busy last year. We had a lot of gigs. We were traveling in Asia again, and as well as a lot of festivals. So January is normally a time where you just catch your breath, recharge your batteries before things kick off again. I don't know if that's pretty much the same for you, Paul, isn't it? Like just doing things around the house, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, I've just moved. So yeah, I'm actually sitting on the floor in my daughter's bedroom. That's the only room that doesn't look like a bomb kit.
Love that.
We've all got that one room we can do Zooms from. Don't worry, we've all got that one. Yeah. The perfect one. Yeah. How does it feel, boys, to be back on the road? Are you loving it?
Go, Paul, sorry.
No, go, Mr. Reed. You look
very old,
by the way.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. New shirt.
Yeah, it's a lovely shirt, though.
I love it.
But yeah, it feels like we haven't actually stopped, because we've been non-stop on the road since Paul rejoined the band. Which when was that, Paul? That was 2018, 2019.
It must be, 2018.
Yeah. Because we were getting together for our 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
And we did a tour over in Asia. And the reason that was so special, because it was the first time we'd all been together as a four. for years. So we kind of haven't stopped since then. So now we're actually on our 25th anniversary. So,
but that's what you want, isn't it? I mean, and the fans are still interested. I was so pleased when I saw that, because this is actually my final show today, and you're our last guest.
Oh wow!
A1, I remember being at college, calling up the box. You remember the box? Trying to get your videos played. I was so obsessed with you guys. So I'm like super excited to see that you, not only are you like touring and stuff, but also you're my last guest on the show. This is like really exciting.
So it was you that was calling up on the box.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to see that Take On Me video one more time. Thank you very much.
I don't know what to say. I mean, well, it's an honor to be one of your last guests. And but what a privilege.
Well, I just wanted to get that in. But I mean, like, what do you think about it? About A1 is that people still love so much.
Oh God, the people still. Well, I think we've got. I think it's our fan base that they've stayed with us. Like, a lot of the people that come to see us have been there since day one, and we remember a lot of them, and I think that's been our. Important ingredient with our prolonged success, especially when we're doing live dates. The fans have stuck with us, and we really appreciate that. It's amazing.
You made a lot of gay teenage boys happy.
That is
true. I have to say. And I'm sure a lot of girls as well. But a lot of gay teenage boys were... if you'd have told younger me that I'd be interviewing A1 one day, I wouldn't have believed it.
Oh, sweet.
Fangirling a little bit. I ain't going to lie. Being subtle.
We did our first gig in London at a place called Limelight, which was like our first show showcase where we were actually getting signed. It was quite a big deal for us. Ant and Dec introduced us on it.
Amazing.
And that at the time Limelight was a gay club, and it actually started our kind of relationship with the community. And ever since, we've been on Prides every year. We used to love doing GAY in London. We did that quite regularly, and we just most recently did Chesterfield and Chester Pride this past year, and there was a guy holding up a big sign, gay for A1 since 1999.
It was me.
It meant the world to us, and as you say, it's amazing that our fans have stayed with us since day one and given us the opportunity to still do this. So thank you.
Boys, I want to ask. I'm gonna throw it to Mark first, and always to Paul, because I know we're on Zoom, so I just want you to both be able to answer. But I'm really intrigued that now you're coming at it where we are now, 25 years down the line. Does it feel different now to it did 25 years ago, and do you appreciate it more now?
Yeah, I suppose it does feel different because we don't have that pressure. We got to get next number one. Oh, we got to, you know, do an album, that kind of thing, which bands have when they're signed to a major label, because you've got that machine working behind you, and there's always a lot of pressure as far as they're concerned. Even though, we were a very successful band for Sony, they do still look at you as a business, as numbers.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no time to take care of your well-being and things like that. And that's not a reflection on Sony in any way. I think the industry has certainly improved with a lot more focus on mental awareness, obviously. But back in the day, it was just, rinse and repeat. And we worked our nuts off until we were pretty much worked into the ground after 5 years. So now the biggest difference is now that we can just appreciate it. And I'll pass over to Paul, because Paul said this great thing to me once. He said, now we're just like, it's just like old mates getting back together and having a good time. That's mostly why we're doing this now, because we enjoy what we do and we enjoy each other's company. I spoke too much. Over to you, Paul.
I can only echo what Mark has said. I know I'd like to add that, you know, we're a lot older now, so we know how to conduct ourselves, and we know how to call out people on bullshit, if I could say that word.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's much easier for us to navigate the business now because we're older, and because we're back together, and we've all grown up kind of together. We've always got each other around us, and we're available to each other emotionally or however else we want to be available to each other. So we've always got that backup, which is amazing. So much easier now.
And like you say, I'm guessing because we've come a long way, even the last 5 years, I'd say, but especially the last 25, mental health, no one was talking about that 25 years ago. So when it comes to if one of you boys or just a pop group in general had a down day or was going through something, I guess there was no resources there to help a member of a boy or a girl band with mental health or if someone was feeling depressed or had anxiety, because just no one knew that terminology. Whereas now we've come a long way. We've got a long way to go, but I guess we're in a much better situation. Like if you're struggling or having a wobble, there's people to talk to.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that was never offered to us, and it was never there back in the day. And obviously we were quite young lads when we first started out. Ben was 16, I was 19. So we were all under 25. We were all young lads. So, and it's kind of strange to really describe it, but we were four very tenacious, determined, very different personalities running in this crazy race together to try and achieve so much as we could. And we all had kind of different goals of what we wanted to achieve, but we managed to, you know, work roughly together. But and I know there were times where each of us struggled over different things. It was never talked about. But and even as recent as sort of say 5 years ago, well, it was more than 5 years now, when the three of us, me, Ben and Christian, did the big reunion, there was no like discussion about your mental health and things like that, and that's only a handful of years ago. But fortunately, it's as you say, it's you know, heading in the right direction now. Things are a lot better now, and I think because the four of us are less tenacious and less kind, we're more about each other now, and more like respect for each other. I think we're there for each other a bit more. I hate to say it, but back in the day, I think there was a lot more competition, even between each members of the band. So you almost don't have time to take care of each other. But now that is, as Paul said, that is the primary focus, taking care of each other. We're all family, you know, three of the guys are dads now and stuff. So just very different times.
And boys, what was the competition? You mentioned competition. Was you all trying to nick the same girl? Did you have a similar type? Was there competition with who was taking what girl home, or who was taking who for a Big Mac?
I'll let you have that one, Paul.
I think what it came from was... I'm not going to include me because I got into this on sheer luck, right place, right time. But when it came to the other guys, they'd come from backgrounds and situations where they were the one. They were the star. They were the main person of their group. They were the one that was going to make it. And now they're in a situation where they've got to share some limelight. And sometimes that can be a difficult thing. And they did find it a little bit difficult. I'm not going to mention any names. Maybe Ben and Christian might have had a little bit of a. But no, it was healthy. It was all healthy rivalry, and I think that's what made us keep our game up, you know.
And I think for anyone, when people's life change and fame comes along, it's a weird thing for anyone to get their head around. But you mentioned some of you were 16, 19, all under 25. Like, that is so young to get fame. And on the scale of being a boy band, like, to compute that as a teenager, that you're famous and that the girls love you, a couple of the gay teenagers, like, the world knows who you are, but still you're... Because at the time, like, even when you're 18, you think you're an adult, but really, we ain't. When you look back at you, you ain't an adult. Do you know what I mean? Like, you might think you are, giving it Jack the Lad, but you ain't got a fucking clue. So when Absolutely. You look back now, like, to hand that passport of fame to someone as a kid, really, it's mad. It's a lot to deal with.
I think I've spoken to a lot of people, especially other people in bands that we've been on tour with in the last 4 or 5 years, notably. And when we do have a bit of time after a gig and we're having a drink, and this comes up a lot, like, everyone I've talked to has gone through something mentally, either during or after their stint. And they really feel it in a little bit. They feel a bit lost because they're obviously in a very alien place that you can't even describe to anyone who's not been through it. And you can only really get any kind of what's the word? You can only get any kind of meaning from it. I mean, you're talking to someone who has been through it, and when you're actually in it, it's a very sometimes it seems like a bit of an abyss. Because you are on a roller coaster ride and you're going in a very, very dark place and you don't know when you're going to come out of it. And you are, and you're driven by lots and lots of money and expectation and a record company. And it's kind of scary. Some of it is very, very scary. And when it ends like that. And it's like, what am I going to do now? What, where's the record company? Where's all these people that used to be texting me and phoning me up?
And that's a lot for someone to deal with. That's so hard. Like, and I want to, I've got to come to an end because the show's about to end, but I want to play a little bit of Call Me When You Land. But
oh, nice.
So, yeah, we're going to end the interview with a little bit of that. But it got me thinking because I'm a little bit of a secret singer, boys. And,
no, you're not. Shut up.
Here I am.
No, he's not.
Want to give us a quick blast of Take On Me
But, I mean, because I think you need... If you need a fifth member, like, if you need a guy to represent, like, to wave that flag for you, like, I think it's time. So I'm going to sing you a little song and audition for you. What do you reckon about that?
I would rather die than in my last 5 minutes on this show, Bob, hear you sing.
So deep, but now you're gone.
Absolutely.
And now I'm caught in the middle. Even though I'm with someone new, all I can think about is you. And now I'm caught in the middle. What do you reckon out of 10?
I thought we had Ben in the studio.
It's fucking uncanny. Uncanny. Nah, boys.
Just need a little tweak.
I mean, I've got an unusual range, but boys, honestly, lovely to have you on. And I just want to play a little bit of Call Me When You Land. Thank you for joining us, lads. Come back anytime.
Thanks, guys.
Absolute pleasure.
Bye.
All the best.
Bye.
What if my words don't reach you right? What if you're never with inside? What if you like you're alone at night without a prayer to cling to? What if you never knew the truth? What if your heart was broken too? What if I somehow could save you but never got the chance to tell you? Can you call me?
Now, Steve,
I
love that. Lovely lads. We're coming towards the end of the show. And obviously, I can't end your final show without a little bit of Stephen's best bit. So I've compiled a Stephen's goodbye mix.
Okay.
Are you ready for it?
Okay.
Here we go.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Access All Areas.
It's Football Radio with Lizzie Gundy.
And Stephen Lang.
I am Stephen Lang.
And I am Joanna Schmonity.
I'm Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris.
And we have Andy West, everyone. And Kate Randall today. The most fabulous person at OK Magazine.
Yeah.
Rosie Underwood.
No, I'm joking. Another
jam-packed
mega show we have
once again have no time to talk about the gossip, Lizzie. I tell you.
What's it like having become a meme?
I hate it because everywhere I go, someone's offering me a popcorn. I don't like
what's
popcorn.
What's wrong with that? Anyway, let's get on with the show. As I'm presenting solo tonight, it is going to be gay, fucking gay tonight. So last week, if anyone was listening, you may remember that there was a long period of time where we were playing lots of songs because Lizzie and our guest Gemma Lucy were busy getting themselves dressed up like slutty devils.
Hold on,
I am genuinely, my mind is blown.
That's what I aim for. I
didn't think I was shockable. Lance Armstrong is gay. Isn't he? From NSYNC.
He's a cyclist.
Oh, that? Oh, no.
Yeah, the other one.
We do like to regularly watch Susan Boyle's audition on YouTube, don't we?
It's just amazing.
It's getting
hot
in here.
Gonna take off all my clothes. No.
Please don't. We're literally going to turn your mic down right now because you sound disgusting.
Sign me up. Sign me up to Strictly. Until next week, everyone. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
A little trip down memory lane.
Very nice. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate that. That was very kind. I'll miss all you guys.
I'm going to miss you. It's been a pleasure. I just want to say, for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Has it been 4 years?
4 years, me and you. And I used to lay in bed with the famous head bulge.
Bob, don't tell them all about that.
Oh, I know. All for free, but I'm not on the OnlyFans or anything. But when I joined as a presenter on this show, I was laying in bed in the crazy times of the old COVID-19, if you remember her. But yeah, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It has.
Wish you the best in everything you do.
I'm sure I'll see you around, Bob.
You will absolutely see me around. I want to pass the mic to you, Stephen. Have you got anything to say?
Just thank you. It's been a great opportunity. I've had the most amazing time. I've been very lucky with great co-hosts over the years. And yeah, it was very unexpected that I would ever do this. And it's certainly not expected that I would have done it this long. So yeah, live long and prosper.
Absolutely. Live, laugh, love.
And that.
Well, thank you, babes. And guys, we'll be back next week.
You'll be back next week.
I'll be back next week. Wednesday, 6 p.m. Access all areas. Until then, take care.
Bye.